Good afternoon, everyone. I'm from Intermountain Healthcare. I'm a medical informaticist. And today I'm going to talk about the analysis we did to evaluate the EHR data to fulfill the public health disease reporting criteria. A little bit of background about this project. We participated in the RCKMS pilot last year, and some of you have heard of this project. So RCKMS stands for Reportable Condition Knowledge Management System. So the public health experts, they consolidate the reporting criteria specification from different states and also including the CST position statement. And then there will be consolidated and proposed logical rules for condition reporting. And this pilot, we included four conditions, pertussis, chlamydia, TB, and LAD. And so the proposed rule will be stored in the central repository and then implemented in the decision support engine. The decision support engine will receive initial case evaluations from the healthcare providers because, as you will see later, like this is an example proposed logic set for pertussis reporting. So it has the clinical criteria and has death record criteria, demographic criteria, epi criteria, and lab criteria. So these data will be sent from the provider side and be used by the central decision support service to evaluate whether this is reportable or not. And then the report will be sent at that stage still manually, but in the future that will be automated also. And then another aspect of this process is the trigger code sent from the central knowledge repository. For example, the end of these data elements included in the criteria need to be evaluated, and it has to be coded and structured. And those information will be extracted from the EHR using a standard code like LOINC or SNOMED. So as we talked about, the set of the criteria here may include different types of clinical information like symptoms, diagnosis, causes of death, demographics, labs, and epi and social. To make this automated process work, we need to evaluate whether the EHR actually has this information available in a structured and a computed format. So we know, I mean, lab is obvious. Most EHR, they have the lab interfaces. They are structured, automatic, connected. For social and epi, basically, I don't know about other EHRs, but right now, this information in our EHR is mostly free text. So the physician would include in the progress note or admission note. So this study, we're going to focus on the evaluation of symptoms, diagnosis, causes of death. So this discussion will be, classified into two questions. So does the EHR actually have such capabilities? Can it capture this information? And this, we're going to look at this from both the front end and the back end. So for front end, does the user interface have a structured form to capture such information? From the back end, once this information is captured and stored, is this coded and stored using some kind of standard terminology? And the second question is more interesting because this will be an investigation of the actual user behavior. So do the clinicians actually use those forms if they're available to capture the discrete data? So just a brief introduction about Intermountain. It is an integrated healthcare system in the Intermountain West. We have hospitals and outpatient clinics, and we have the lab service and the pharmacy services and health insurance company. And in this project, we used our legacy EHR system. We're in the process of migrating to a commercial EHR, but this project is based on the old system. And so from the front, as we talked about, so question number one, we want to look at from this front end perspective. Most EHRs would have, actually every EHR would have this problem list module as required by meaningful use. But the tricky part about problem is there are different types of problem, the state of the problem. The clinicians has to use the system in the right way to make sure the information is captured correctly. And for symptoms, there are also web forms. For example, this is a screenshot for a review of systems. So there is a way for the clinicians to actually capture the cough or sleep apnea in a structured way. And this is the death module from our EHR. Intermountain has a direct interface from the EHR to our death registry. So patient demographics would be automatically extracted from the EHR, and then the physician need to fill out this death information form. At this point, it is free text, so it's not coded for cause of death. We talked about the front end things, and then let's look at the back end. So the information, for example, the diagnosis symptoms, they're captured, then they will be stored and translated to standard codes. At Intermountain, we have a health data dictionary as a terminology server, and every structured data element is stored using an internal concept. But to make the RCKMS process work, we need to translate the internal code to the standard code so the system can evaluate. This is a summary of the trigger codes mapping. When we use a symptom or we use a diagnosis as the initial filtering from the case, and then when the case meets the requirement, then it will be sent to RCKMS decision support. And this shows at Intermountain we are using a small percentage of the trigger codes as developed and consolidated from RCKMS work group, which totally makes sense because the purpose for RCKMS project is to make sure it's comprehensive. But not every healthcare provider would use all the codes in its own real-world settings. And we talked about the EHR functionality perspective. So the EHR does have, to a certain degree, it does have the capability to allow the users to capture information and store it in a structured format from the back end. But how is the search information actually, what are the behaviors from the clinician? Do they really use those functionalities to capture the information? So the second part of the study, we analyzed the data from our enterprise data warehouse, see whether they are, what are the data quality about the disease reporting. So the data source we used here is everything stored in our EHR, most things like symptoms, diagnosis, labs, death, they're all observations. And so information from the front end will be stored in our clinical data repository. And it will be loaded to our enterprise data warehouse. So we used information here. And then we also looked at the billing data. What would be coded for the encounters? Does that give us extra information? And the time frame for this study was between 2011 to 2015. So this is a closer look of the pertussis case. So there are cases identified with abnormal lab results, and then cases only diagnosed with diagnosis. and I mean identified by diagnosis, and then cases by billing codes. The limitation here is there's, as we will discuss later, we don't have a gold standard to identify all the reportable cases. And so in this study, we used different data sources and we combined them together and just to show how the cases are distributed across different data categories. So labs, not surprisingly, it has the most, it has the biggest coverage here. But there are cases that are not identified by lab, and I was actually surprised by seeing how small the overlapping between lab and the billing. And so we will talk about, so numbers are numbers, so this is a number, but what does that mean? What does tell us? And we will look at the chart reviews later, see why some cases are only identified by labs, or why some cases that only have billing. So I forgot to mention, actually for pertussis, remember, so the first slide I showed for the criteria for pertussis, there is a criteria combining symptoms and the age. So for infant who is younger than 2 years old but have apnea and cough, those should be reportable. But from our EHR data, we didn't identify any such case. It doesn't mean it's not there, it's just the symptoms are not recorded. So for death, we used the 2014 data. We don't, luckily, or for this study, we didn't identify any records that have the cause of death within the four pilot conditions. So we used, but previous study does show how the death reporting from EHR is being used at Intermountain. So about 6% of those deaths certified by Intermountain were completed using the EHR. And then there are other, the rest of the death reporting was paper-based, or there are also a web portal in Utah, so physicians can log into a separate portal and then report death. However, even though the usage using EHR death reporting is relatively low, but it does show it is completely significantly sooner than other mechanisms. And this is another example, chlamydia, and then there, this is a little bit simpler compared to pertussis, so it's just the clinical and lab, and this shows the overlapping between these two categories. I'm going to talk about the timeliness particularly. So when a case is both identified by diagnosis and lab positive lab results, how, which one is faster, which one can potentially be reported sooner to the Department of Health. So what we found was, for chlamydia here as example, the diagnosis was documented 14 days later than the lab results, and the median was 3 days. We're going to look at the, discuss the why this happens later based on our chart reviews. And then symptoms, we didn't identify any case, so we couldn't say the timeliness on that. And the billing, on average, it took 7 days. I mean, the time lagged between the service date and the billing date is 7 days. The median is 1 day. So now we look at those numbers, and we want to know why that is happening and how. Is there any opportunity for us to actually improve the data documentation from EHR? So this is example of a patient case that had only billing, but no lab confirmation, no diagnosis. And I was curious why would such cases happen. So if you look at the notes from the clinicians, it says the student was there was a student, so there was a contact at the patient's school. So this, we don't have API criteria, discrete in the forms, but so clinicians know this in the nose, and then they gave the treatment, and then this was billed as pertussis. And then another interesting case. This is a single episode of chlamydia. When I say episode, it's a series of encounters, related encounters, of the same condition for the same patient. So this patient was first seen in September 2010, and then there was a lab ordered and resulted, and it is positive. But then at that time, at that encounter, problem was not entered because at that point of care, the physician just ordered the lab. And then the patient had a follow-up, had treatment and a follow-up in January 2011, and then the physician actually added that problem to the problem list. And it was still active at that point, that the lab testing. And then in April 2011, there was another follow-up visit, and then lab was still positive, so there is another positive lab documented on this patient. And then finally in May 2011, it's negative. And then ideally, the problem should be resolved by the clinician. However, when I review the chart, it was still active. So a quick discussion about what we learned, what we found based on the analysis and the chart review. So structure, symptoms, and diagnosis, they are, even though those functionalities are available in the EHR, but they're not frequently used by the clinicians. And when I was doing the chart review, and one of the significant issues is about problem is the type and status. In this case, and then a series of other cases, the problem, even though the problem was just a past medical history, the clinician still added to keep it in the problem list. So in that case, if we use electronic case reporting based on the triggers, that will capture that case, but it's actually not a valid case in that situation. And then for death reporting, we do have low adoption, but then there is hope and there is promise to make it more efficient. And then there are some limitations of this study, as I mentioned. In the EHR, there's no such concept episode, so there's a series of encounters, both lab diagnosis and treatment. But then they're not linked. There's no way for me to link them together, so I know this is the same case and same episode. That made the case count actually challenging. So in some cases, I use approximate count. And then there was no gold standard for identifying the reportable cases, so we just used three different data sources to identify the cases. Another interesting thought was, so based on what we observed about the sequence of the lab testing and the diagnosis entered by the clinicians, there are also cases when the patient was first diagnosed from another facility and then treated at Intermountain. So Intermountain would observe that as a new case, but actually it should have been already reported to UDOH if the other facility followed the policy. So it works the other way too, if the patient was first diagnosed at Intermountain and then treated at other facility. So there are some data interoperability opportunities and challenges in this case. So finally, as we look at these two questions in the beginning of the discussion, so does the EHR have such capability? Yes, but sort of. Like, it doesn't really support. We can never blame the user when they don't use something. We need to make their work easy to develop the system in that way. But the clinician, they are not really leveraging such capabilities I mean, for public health reporting. We need to design the system in the way that they support both clinical care and the public health reporting. So the final message would be using the clinical criteria in the electronic case reporting can potentially increase the comprehensiveness and the timeliness of the disease reporting. However, the data quality of the EHR system may hinder the effectiveness in the real-world practice based on what we saw from this analysis. Thanks. And this is my final slide.
We've got a few minutes for questions.
So based on that chlamydia case example, it sounds like there's a potential that a case gets reported multiple times
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
it's left in an open problem list or something like that.
Yeah.
So is there an existing EHR data element or some way to easily capture in the EHR whether or not the
yeah.
case has already been reported
right.
to public health?
Oh, yeah. So first, there is a way in the EHR actually to identify these problems as a past medical history. So if the problem has already been solved from has been already resolved from another healthcare setting, the provider shouldn't enter it as an active problem. So it should be a medical history. But then to the second part of your question is, we can actually, like you said, we can use some kind of two-way connection to the public health reporting registry. So when a healthcare provider reports a case, it will get a confirmation from the Department of Health and store that status in the EHR. So whenever the case is identified as reported, whenever there is a sequence of follow-up events happening on this case, it won't be alerted again. But also, the challenge is, so we need to make sure, so the patient, theoretically, the patient can have the same condition twice across different time frame. So for example, the patient had the chlamydia 2 years ago, and then it was resolved, and then had another disease 2 years later. So there are two same patient but two separate cases, and so we have to make sure there has to be unique association between the public health and the EHR.
Thank you.
Thank you.